Good evening, everyone. I know we have some visitors tonight, so I'm Dan Eaton. My wife is Madison. We got two kids, Esther and Jack. So tonight, like Matt mentioned, we've been going through our core values as a church, core distinctives, whatever you want to call them. And this evening, we're kicking off the community section. And our topic tonight is the family of God. And my hope for tonight really is that we would leave here and really see each other as brother and sister. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would put us in touch with love. God, we say you are love itself. I just ask that you would fill us up with that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Everyone's looking for the thrill, but what's real is family. Dominic Toretto, Fast and the Furious 7. So I compiled actually every quote from the Fast and the Furious movies, that beloved movie franchise, and Victor's going to send them out this week in an email for you guys for home group. So it's pages. I mean, it's multiple pages, but anyways. No, for real, though, I want to begin tonight by sharing a story with you, actually, about me. Kind of a testimony, in a way. So I moved to Lexington when I was 19. That was about 10 years ago, believe it or not. I'm originally from Missouri, but I decided that I wanted to go to college far away from where I grew up because I didn't like who I was at the time. I had had a real relationship with God when I was 13 and 14, but as I went to high school, things slipped away. It began to slip away, and by the time I was graduating high school and getting ready to go to college, I knew that I either had to change my life or stop calling myself a Christian, because I was definitely not one anymore. There were several reasons that I was in this place, but a real major one was that I had become jaded about the church. When I was younger, I had seen a glimpse of God's vision for Christian community through a study of the book of Acts that I did. I especially remember Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 33, where it says, "Now the full manner of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." But with that in my heart, I looked around, and I couldn't help but notice that when I looked at my church, I did not see the church in Acts. What I saw looked more like a dysfunctional homeowners association, unfortunately. You know, church wasn't a family, as far as I could tell. It was just a thing that you went to on Sunday morning when you felt like it, right? And when I was old enough to drive, I actually started to go visit other churches, but I never found anything like what I read about in the book of Acts. And so what I started to do is I just started to believe that no such place existed, right? All of this talk about the family of God, it was just a fantasy, just flowery talk. Well, fast forward to my first or second week at UK as a freshman, and I got invited by Kenton Senna to a home group meeting at 777 Rainwater Drive. And after much prodding, I decided to go, and I immediately knew that there was something different about these people. At first, it was off-putting to me, honestly. But as the night went on, I began to warm up to the people there. The night culminated in a conversation that I had with Billy Henderson. He asked me about the way I grew up, and quickly we got to church. And I shared with him, really, in some version, what I just shared with you all. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but basically, he said, "I hear you. You know, man, I've been trying to live out that community that you're describing here for 40 years. And there was something about it, about that conversation. I kind of believed him, right? I was jaded still, but I kind of believed him. And really a small flame of hope was lit. I would say that. And long story short, I started coming to more and more stuff here, built relationships here, and here I am today. And so that story, I just tell it so you know where I'm coming from. That, man, the revelation of the church as the family of God that I experienced here at LCF, that was crucial, right? It was central to me coming back to Christ. And so if you're like me, right, and the unity of God's people resonates with you, I mean, I think most of us in this room that would be true for. The reason for that is because family is an eternal thing, right? Family has always existed in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the original family, right? The perfect family, and the family that brought humanity into existence to extend that original family. And every human heart longs for this family, right? And the Bible, really, so much of the Bible is that story of humanity longing to get back to the Father, right? To be back in the family. And we know the story, right? Mankind stumbled, blew up its relationship with the Father. And so God chose one man and his descendants to be his, right? And that's the nation of Israel. And after thousands of years and what was often a very toxic family dynamic, right, due to Israel's failures, God eventually sent Jesus to make things right. And so please, open your Bibles to John chapter 1. This is starting in verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. So a new family was born, right? Or you could say the fulfillment of what God had intended to do all along. And membership in this family was not dependent on bloodline, but rather belief and participation in that salvation that Jesus won on the cross, right? And so therefore, you are a child of God, right? That is the most fundamental identity that you and I have, that you are a part of God's family. But you are not an only child, right? It's part two. There are billions of us. You have billions of brothers and sisters. You have brothers in China, sisters in Africa. In fact, right now, there are 10 million Christians in Australia worshiping God with us. It's like 9 a.m. on Sunday morning there, right? I mean, it's you can't wrap your mind around it, how big the family of God is. And so you are a child of God, but we are children of God, right? God has children, not just one child. And, you know, Jesus, actually, he makes it very clear that this family of God is actually deeper and takes precedence even over our earthly families. In Luke 8, 19 through 21, it says, "Then Jesus' mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you.' But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" And so the scriptures are very clear, right? God has made us a family. But what does that mean? I mean, we all come from different families. It's a universal principle, but we all have different experiences of family. And so I think we all bring different things to that word. So just to ground us, I really liked this definition from Encyclopedia Britannica, where it says, family is a group of persons united by the ties of marriage, blood, or adoption, constituting a household and interacting with each other and their respective social positions. I like this definition because it really focuses on what unites a family, right? It's marriage, blood, or adoption. Well, what unites us as a family of God? Right? That's I think, a central part of the question. What is it that holds us together? And for this, let's go to Christ's prayer in John chapter 17. This is starting in verse 20. This is Jesus speaking, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. And so we are united with each other as we are united with Christ, right? That's what this is saying. That is so key, right? That is what holds us together, is our unity with Christ. And so I also think, you know, it's not a coincidence that just a few verses before, Jesus prays, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's John 17:3, right? Just a few chapters before. As we are knowing God, our Father together, we are made one, right? Amen? And, you know, the other side of that coin is that knowing God must take place in the context of community. Those two things, they go together, right? God made it that way. You know, think about Christ's ministry. Was it a bunch of one-on-one meetings with different people, like first century speed dating? No. It wasn't one-on-one, it was 12-on-1, right? It was 12 men following and knowing Jesus and then getting along the way, right? That's what it was. And so, really, if we want to be united with Christ, it must be in the context of a church community. And a church community must be all about unity with Christ. Amen? Amen. And so we are united with each other as we are united with Christ. Underline that with your number 2 pencil. If you got one. You know, when I was a senior in high school, right before I came to Lexington, my friend group's idea of fun was getting blackout drunk in the basement. That's what we did together. That's what we would do together every weekend. And I remember often during that time waking up the next morning and looking at all these guys, you know, my friends, passed out on the floor, and I would get this feeling like, man, this is so fake. You know? I knew, I think, that absent the alcohol, there was no friendship there, really. I had these two friends who didn't like each other, and I think it was over a girl, and they would go through this cycle, but they would both get drunk, and then they would hug, make up, and cry. And then the next morning, they would sober up and go right back to hating each other. And that would happen. That happened multiple times. It was like a cycle, over and over and over. And, you know, it's funny. It is kind of funny. It's also very sad, right? And the truth is, like, there are countless examples around us of, like, these fake plastic communities, right? From like Reddit and social media to like your work family, you know? It's all around us, right? But I remember, man, when I came to LCF, what I saw wasn't fake. I could feel it even before I was really a Christian again. And, you know, I eventually realized, the more I came around, that it was because this community was centered around Jesus Christ, right? Not something that was passing away. You know, and it was interesting that some of the people that I saw here had really nothing in common with each other at all, other than Christ. That was enough, though, right? That was enough to hold them together. And so I share all this just to illustrate that God really is the beginning and the end of the family of God. Amen? Amen. It says, we love because he first loved us, right? And so please turn your Bibles to 1 John now, chapter 4. This is starting in verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so just as we are united with each other, as we are united with God, when we are at odds with each other, we're at odds with God. That's what John is saying here. And man, we really see this right from the beginning of Genesis. You know, as Adam and Eve fall out of relationship with God, they simultaneously fall out of relationship with each other. Right away, you know, what is it? Adam's, she gave me the apple, right? You see that happen right there. And then it's right after that scene that sin twists and perverts and drives a brother to murder his own brother over bitterness and jealousy. You know, I think those early stories in Genesis, man, they cut so deep because they really get right to the heart of like the darkest things in us, right? Husband turned against wife, brother turned against brother, father turned against son. You know, you read Cain and Abel, and you just know that this is a tragic story, right? This is not how things are supposed to be. And those stories are like 5 sentences, 10 sentences, right? And so, you know, and then you fast forward to more recent history. The American Civil War, right, is often thought as the darkest hour of our nation's history. And I think one of the big reasons for that is that it pitted brother against brother, right? Sometimes literally, I mean, especially here in Kentucky and in my home state of Missouri, which were border states, but in a bigger sense, right, it pitted the nation against itself. A nation is like a family in many ways, right? It's kind of an extension of family. And so a nation at war with itself is like the most tragic form of war. And I think that we all get that intuitively in this room, but even as a culture, right? And so consider, for example, like 1 John 3:14 in this light. It says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hating your brother is murder, right? It is death. God cannot use, he cannot work with a people who hate their own brothers and sisters. It's just a fact of the scriptures. You know, in verse 17, John says that if we close our heart against our own brother, how can the love of God abide in us? And so as we close tonight, as worship team comes up, I just want to say, my hope for tonight is that we would truly, by the Holy Spirit, because of Christ's blood, be a family. My prayer really is simply that we would see each other in a new light and love our brothers and sisters. That's a simple message. Now, I think so much of the relational issues that go on in a church would be solved if we really got a hold of this truth, right? I mean, for example, what kind of person would talk bad about their own brother, right, behind his back? And that's what we are. We're brothers with each other, right? God made it that way. There are so many forces in America attempting to isolate us, right? There's the American dream telling us that if we had just the right house, the right job, the right wife, that we would be happy, right? There's Satan whispering in our ear, whispering lies, trying to get us to hold on to bitterness, to hold on to my rights. And sadly, the American church in our time has accommodated and sometimes bent the knee to these forces. Church in America, too often, is just like a movie theater, right? Inviting you to come in and consume and then just go back to your American dream, right? I want to say, when I came to LCF 10 years ago, I saw a resistance to that. Like, I saw a group of Christians defiant, insisting that church can actually be a living body, right? That we can be a family. And that means, I know that means rejecting the steady diet of individualism, materialism, and passivity that we're all fed. And in place of that, it requires honesty, vulnerability, and sacrifice, right? And I know that we have made mistakes along the way. I know that as we formed the resistance, we've surely overreacted to some things, underreacted to others. But man, this is not a walk in the park, right? I mean, we are paddling upstream trying to do this. And so I just want to say, I am not going back to the dysfunctional homeowners association. I'm not doing that. I'm not going back to sleep, right? I want to say, I believe that we can be living stones built into a temple. And that means friction. It means hard conversations. But it's worth it. There are 1,000 movie theater churches in Lexington. It doesn't need one more, right? And so I just wanted to share this. I know that our church is going through a hard time right now. And I think it's more important now than ever that we just get a hold of this reality. We are brothers and sisters, right? And you do not give up on your family. And so I want to say, if you've ever felt like God called you here to these people, don't let go of that just because of a hard season. But the Father of this family is the living God. And He's faithful. He has proved that. And so what do you do tonight if you find yourself hating your brother, if you find yourself jaded about church like I was? How do you get back? How do you get back to loving the church, to loving God's people? The answer is love itself. God Himself is love, right? And so I want to invite you tonight to come down to the altar and receive love from love itself, from God. And then go make things right. I want to close tonight, though, with 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Amen.